This week in Mitzvah will be the Yahrzeit, Chaf Beis Tamuz. A very great tzaddik, died very young. Reb Shlomo Karliner, the Talmud of the Magid from Mezrich, and then from Aaron HaGadol from Karlin. And after the Ptira of Aaron HaGadol, so he led Karlin for 20 years. When he first came to see the Magid from Mezrich, the Magid said about him that on Leil Yom HaKippurim, when he says Hashem Adoninu Ma'adir Shimcha B'chol Ha'aretz, that he crowns HaKadosh Baruch Hu as king over the world, he says all the nitzaitzin, all the sparks of Kedusha in Poland, Litva, and Ryson, he's ma'ala all of them up. Thank you. And the very first time he came to see the Magid went out to greet him and he said, Mashiach ben Yosef is here, Mashiach ben Yosef is here. And he wasn't the only one who said that. Many others said that, but it was somewhat of a prophecy, because we have a Messiah that Mashiach ben Yosef will be killed. And that goes back, of course, to Yosef HaTzadik, that he was sold, and that was like he was killed, the Torah says. And Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Mchal, there were many tzaddikim over the course of our history in which it was said about them that they had the neshama Mashiach ben Yosef, and the Karliner was one of them, and he was tragically killed. He was shot by a Russian soldier, I think it was. And he died a very young man. He was mechutana with Rabbi Baruch Mezhbazher, and he said about him, he said, mechutan I didn't know. I didn't really know him. Because I see now that had I known him, I would have been afraid to get into a shidduch with him. He said about his greatness. He spoke about Rabbi Baruch Mezhbazher, I think it was about a year ago. And like the derech of Mashiach ben Yosef, now is not the time to talk about the difference between Mashiach ben Dov and Mashiach ben Yosef. He knew a lot of chachma. The Talmidim said about him, like it says about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in the Gemara, that he knew all the sichas, the kolim. He knew all the sichas of all the behemas and all the trees and all the malach hasharis. I mean, he understood and he knew everything. He was like Shlomo HaMelech in that way. Once one of the Talmidim asked Rav Shlomo Karliner, and they said, can you teach me? Can you teach me this Chachma? He said, teach you this Chachma? He said, you think somebody taught this to me? He says, I did tshuva all the way up to the Kisei HaKavod. And over there, there's a Pnei HaShor, she taught me the language of the Shor. And there's a Pnei Nesher, he taught me the language of the Nesher. Meaning, he didn't learn it Stam HaChachma. He did such a big tshuva to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that where he got to, the place that he achieved. So that's where he learned these things. He was a big chachma in mazalos, and he knew everything. And where did he learn those things? In the bathroom. He learned all those things in the bathroom. He's like, Babak, you can't understand people like this. At first, he was very hidden. He was very hidden. And only the tzaddikim knew about him. They wanted that he should like go public, you know, like announce himself as a big tzaddik and to lead a neda. He was amongst the hidden talmidim. So, after the ptira of the magid, so they wanted, you know, that he should lead a neda. He was somebody who they felt was even right to replace the magid. So, they chaperoned him and he said, nah, it's not for me, I'm not right. So they said, okay, Rabbi, let's make a deal. Let's go ask. There was one legendary Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov who was still alive, and that was the Magid from Zlatcho, Zlatcho from Magid. They said, let's go ask the Magid, you know, whether you should become a Rebbe or not. So he was very happy to do that because he said, the Magid, he's a Baal Ruch Kodesh, he'll see the emes in me. He'll know exactly. So he agreed, they agreed, they were going to go to the Magid for Shabbos. And they hoped over the course of that Shabbos they'll get a psak from the Magid as to what should be with Rav Shlomo Karliner. So a whole Shabbos went by, and not a word from the Magid. Mamash, not a word. So it was Motzei Shabbos, and it was time for him to go. It was a very halig of Shabbos, they said. Magid and Rav Shlomo Karliner and the Magid were there. And the sons of the Magid came over and they said to him, will you please stay another Shabbos? So he said, what are you, the balabas over here? You're inviting me to Sefer Shabbos? So, but they knew that, of course, that the Magid would certainly, you know, invite him to Sefer Shabbos. So they went and they told the Magid, the sons of the Magid, they said, Shlomer Karliner, stay another Shabbos. So the Magid said, listen, it would be a very big schus for us, but how can I ask a person who all the worlds are standing on his shoulders that he should stay another Shabbos? That's what they said. So now, Shlomo Kalina wasn't present at the time when they said that, but when they heard those words from the Magid, they knew that was going to be their Haskama from the Magid, that the Shlomo was going to have to lead an Eidah, he's going to have to be a Rebbe. So they went back and they told Shlomo Kalina what the Magid had said, and he came running to the Magid and he says, even you, you're deceived from the truth? And he couldn't believe that the Magid would not be able to see that he's a nobody. Even you, the truth is hidden from you? That he said to the Magid. So the Magid said to him, he says, what do you think, Shlomo? He says, you want to have a little room next to the heavens that you could sit in your whole life and be removed from people, and that's how you're going to serve Hashem? Very big words. He says, go home and be Makar of Yidin to Avim Shubha Shemai. Go home and start to be Makarav Yidin. And then it says that the Magid, he took his hand and he put it like by his legs and he said, this low, this is how low you have to go in order to be Makarav Yidin Tasha. After that, the deal was sealed. That was his first pass out.
How old was he when that was like? Huh? Because you said he died young. So how old was he when?
I think he was in his 30s. Wow. Yeah, he was very young when he was young. About his greatness. So, it's a very interesting story. He was once drinking a cup of tea, and he had a sugar cube. He held it in his hand. He was holding the sugar cube in his hand while he was drinking his tea. So one of the chevah turned to me and says, I understand, manavshach. He says, either don't put it down on the table or put it in the tea. Why are you holding it in your hand? So he looked at him and he says, here, you have it. And he put it in his mouth and there was no flavor in it whatsoever. His mama, she sucked it out into the dish. I don't know why it had to be that way, obviously, but just, you know.
How long ago did he live?
He went to the Magid in the early 1800s, late 1700s. Or the early 1800s.
So he was
a grandfather of Aragorn? No. He was a Talmud.
Talmud. Yeah.
Says, Balabas once asked him, says, if I can come, can I come to your house tomorrow? Can I make an appointment to come see you tomorrow? So he sent him and he said, you're a shaita. He says, you know what I have to do between now and tomorrow? I have to daven marv. I have to say kriyeshma with mesiris nefesh. I have to wake up tomorrow daven shachris with mesiris nefesh. I have to do tachem with mesiris nefesh. And maybe Hashem will accept my request that I should dial kiddush Hashem and you want to make an appointment tomorrow? That's what he said. There was a yid that he had sekus in Amuna, Chas v'Shalom, Ma'alenu. And he was a Chabad chassid, or he would go to the Balatanya. They were very close to Balatanya and Shlomo Karliner. And he would go to the Balatanya for like a remedy, and he would learn a little chassidus with him, and it would help his sekus in Amuna. But then about like a few weeks later, he would have to come back again to the Balatanya, and this happened like 2, 3, 4 times, like. Every once in a while, he'd have to come back again to the Balatanya. So he said, it's not working out here. So he went to the Shlomo Karliner. And he just showed up to Shlomo, he was putting on his tefillin. Shlomo Karliner was up to the part where he was wrapping the tefillin around his finger, and he said, Ve'yrastich li be'emunah. And he said, when he heard him say those words, Ve'yrastich li be'emunah, he says, he drove away all of his fakas forever. He became a changed man. So he went back to the Balatanya and he had tainas on him. And he said, I understand. I come to you, we learn chassidus and I have problems. I go to the Karlina, I don't even learn anything. He says just a few words. Everything is solved. So Balatanya said, there's two types of tzaddikim. There's a tzaddik who has an inyan in Torah. And there's a tzaddik who has an inyan in, I don't want to know exactly what it is, but let's say call it Shechina. So he said, Pasuk says, Ki mitzion teitzei taira, udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. He says, mitzion, from the place of tzion, you'll find taira. People who are tzion dik yidin, they have a koyach in taira. He says, but those who are Yerushalayim, Dvar Hashem Yerushalayim. All you have to hear is the Dvar Hashem from them. And if you hear the Dvar Hashem from them, that's all you need. You don't need Tyrus from Yerushalayim. It happens to be that Tzion is in Gematria Yosef, that's Mashiach ben Yosef, and Yerushalayim, it's the holy name. But the two different types of tzaddikim. So the Baal HaTanya says, I can't help you like he can, because I'm Tyra, I'm Tzion. But he's Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is Yerushalayim, Yerushalema. So he can help you. Just his Dvar Hashem itself can help you. There's another such person who had Bilbulim and all types of crazy mishigasim in his head. So there was a certain Rav who said, go to Shlomo Kalina. And he came at a time where he was lighting Neres Chanukah. And when he came to the pasuk that he would say in Hallel, Hallel HaGadol, after lighting, he came to the pasuk, Vayifakenu mitzareinu kili lamchaste. He says, Vayifakenu, Hashem will unload your tzaras, your pains, kila oilam chasa. He got up to the pasuk and he put his hand on the shoulder of the seer. He said, do you believe that Hashem is vayifakena mitzareinu? So he said, yes, Rabbi. And he says, if that's the case, vayifakena mitzareinu kila chasa. All of his bilbulim, everything went away. There's another such story like that, that he was once walking down the street and there was a blind man who was walking on the other side of the street and he heard the commotion of Shlomo Kalina was on the other side, and he said to the people who were escorting him, come, take me to Shlomo Kalina. He says, what's it going to help you? You can't say, take me to Shlomo Kalina. So he came and he says to the Rebbe, he says, a good yontif, a good yontif. It's a good yontif. So the Rebbe notices that he's blind, and he says to him, do you believe that the Ibishta can heal you from your blindness? And he said, yes, I believe. So he says, no, so that's not, no. He says, do you believe, Be'emes, that Hashem can heal you for your blindness? He says, yes, Rabbi, I believe. He says, nah, you don't believe. He says, do you really believe that Hashem can heal you from your blindness? He says, Rabbi, I believe Be'emunah Shleimah. And this went on, and he was the so he says, if that's the case, then you shall have refuah. He says, on the spot, you have refuah, Shleimah. Mm. On the spot. The tzaddikim are very careful. Shivisi Hashem lenegdi samer, that at every moment they should be dveikus with Hashem, and not be mesiach das from Hashem. So the Rosh Hashanah we spoke about him a number of weeks ago, that he had a little cup of water by his. He would go wherever he would go. He had a cup of water, and the reason why he had that is that if he had any moment that he was mafsik in his dveikus from Hashem for a moment, he would put his fingers in the water like he had to wash his hands. So Shlomo Kalina. So he said that one time he was traveling on the road and there was a hill, very steep hill, and it looked like it was going to spiral out of control, whatever it was, and he got very scared of Shlomo Kalina, and for a moment he was mafsik in his dveikus, pause in his dveikus with Hashem.
In the water.
Huh? No. So he says he was very upset with himself about that, and he was makabel mesiras nefesh, that he would die al kiddush Hashem because of he was mafsik in his dveikus. So he felt that was the only appropriate thing that he could do. So he was coming to the border of crossing in between two countries. And normally you would have to stop and they would check your van and to make sure, you know, you have to pay a tax, this and that. And if you didn't stop, then it wasn't like today's world that they could shoot you. Meaning that if you pass, they could shoot like some type of a fiery bullet or an echves, I don't know what it was, and it could just cause the whole thing to explode. So he, when he was getting towards the border, he told his driver, he says, you have to go through it. Go, don't stop for it. The driver was very scared and said, no, tzans, just go. He says, not only don't stop, but only over when you pass and you cross, then you should stop to give them an opportunity to shoot us. That's what he said. That's exactly what happened, and nothing happened, obviously. He says, but this was his way, that because he was mafsik on his vegas, he was a makabel upon himself. This mesiras nefesh, al-kiddush Hashem, because he was mafsik from his vegas for a moment.
That wasn't the moment that he was shot in the
messenger. No, that was different. That was a different time, no. He was once with the Baal HaTanya on Erev Shabbos, and he was invited to come into the kitchen to help prepare for the foods for Shabbos Kodesh. So he took some salt and he put it onto the dish and he said, L'chav Shabbos Kodesh. So when the Talmidim saw that, so they all went in and they said, oh, so they took salt and L'chav Shabbos Kodesh. Another time, L'chav Shabbos Kodesh. So it came to a point where What? He couldn't eat it. Yeah, it was partially not possible to eat. Yeah. So they were sitting at the table, and it was the fish that they were salting. They're sitting at the table, and nobody was. They put fish on everybody, and nobody was eating it. So Shlomo Kleiner thought nobody's eating because it wasn't salted. So he put some salt in it, and he started eating it. And the Baal HaTanya says he didn't. He ate the whole thing. So the Baal HaTanya said, "I knew he was mufshat from Gashmias. He was completely removed. But this far, he had mamish no shaykhs. This far, I never knew. It could be so far from anything in this world." He once spent Shabbos in a town by a Talmud of Rav Matal Min Ashchiz. And this Talmud and his rabbits, and they didn't have children, and they would go for brachas all the time to the Nashchizer, and they say brachas and brachas and brachas, and nothing happened. So Shlomo Karlina stayed at that house for Shabbos once, and then when he left, so the Baal HaBas asked for a bracha from Shlomo Karlina. So this is what he said. He said, "Oh, the Baal HaBas here, he treated me like the Isha HaShunamis would treat Elisha. The Rebbetzin, she's not exactly Elisha HaShunamis, but that's okay. I'm also not like Elisha." That's all he said. That was his remark. Didn't give a bracha. He just made this very interesting comment. The next year they had a baby. So they thought that it was because of all the brachas of the Nashchizer that they were zeichet to the child, because they didn't get anything from Shlomo Karlina. So they sent him a gift, saying that a present, saying, "Thank you very much for the Yeshua Yopar for us." And Shlomo looked at him and says, "This is not for me. And you're sending it to the wrong person." He took it and he sent it to Shlomo Karlina. He says, "You got the wrong guy. It wasn't me. Yeshua came from Shlomo Karlina. It didn't come from me." He was able to see from the whole Maisa that it was the Karlina who was part of the Yeshua, just from those words that he said. "Oh, you treated me. I'm not like this. She's not like that." Yeah, that was it. It's a very sharp story. Maybe I shouldn't have said it, but now that I told you, I have to say it. It's a very high madrigas. There was a Jew that he died al Kiddush Hashem, and he was hung. He was hung and he died al Kiddush Hashem. How? What happened? That there was some type of an alila. How would you say alila in English? There was a setup. There was a
frame.
Yeah, conspiracy. Thank you. Yeah, frame the conspiracy. And this Jew was makabel upon himself the death in order to save the community. And it was very well known. It was a big Kiddush Hashem. And the Karlina says, "I can't walk by the mace. I can't walk by because it wrench. The stench is so bad from his gaiva, that I can't walk by. Because of the stench of his gaiva." He said, "When a person dies like Kiddush Hashem, it has to be Isha Riach Nechoyach Lashem, 100% Lashem Shemai." That's what he said. It's a very, very sharp story. You see, like the Madrigas that they held themselves, had to give Nachas Ruach to Hashem Yisbarach. We should just know if such madrigas exist. It humbles us, you know. We make a bracha on a lollipop and we're already big tzaddikim. But these are people that, you know, they perfection for the Ribbono Shel Olam, and they knew they couldn't be perfect, but they were always mechazik themselves and toivei for themselves much more. You know, the Baal Shem Tov on his deathbed, you know, everybody was crowded around, and you know, what was the Baal Shem Tov's last words on his deathbed? Al tivayini ragel gava. Don't bring me to a moment of gaiva. Those were his last words. Understand? Very deep. Yeah. Okay. So there's only one last thing. I'll say one last thing. So he was once by the Kedushas Levi in Barditchev, and it was going to be before the Yom HaNorayim like it is now, and the Barditchev wanted him very much to stay and to be with him for the Yom HaNorayim. So, but he wanted to go back to his Rebbe, Rav Aaron Karlina, Rav Aaron HaGadol. So the Barditchev told him, to convince him to stay, he said the following thing. He says, "There's a certain tefillah which we say on Rosh Hashanah. Not all communities say it. It's called Yale Trinaseno. Yale tachanuneinu. And the Berditchev said, here in Berditchev, when we say Yale, there are seven Yales. There's many Yales. He says, with each Yale, here we ascend one of the Rekiyas, one of the heavens. By the time we come to the eighth Yale, we have Gilui Shechina, Dekis with the Shechina. So he says, if you stay here, you're in for a very good Rosh Hashanah. He says, oh, that's very nice. He says, it's okay, I'm not interested. And he went to go be with Rav Aharon HaGadol. He was willing to give up everything to be with his Rebbe. Talks about it in to be with the Rebbe, but no. Also very deep Maisa. Very deep Maisa. It's very nice. It's okay. I'm going to go to the Rebbe. Ah, very, very, very great tzaddik. He lived a very short life. Very, very great.
How old was he when he was
left there? He was late
30s.
Late 30s?
I'm 38 also.
Amar adayin ayilei yakmei batir abdi akai. Amar adayin ayilei yakmei batir abdi akai. Amar adayin ayes yakmei batir abdi akai. Amar adayin ayes yakmei batir abdi akai. Ava bove yashvei yakmei batir abdi akai. We just said in Amar Hashem Liyakov, Altir of the Yaakov, many quotes from this week's Parsha, Parshas Balak, the Brachas of Bilam. He said, Darach Keichav Miyakov, Altir of the Yaakov, Yoru Mishpatecha Liyakov, Tove Yahalecha Yaakov, Kilei Nachash Biyakov, Libidavim Biyakov, Mimona for Yaakov. And even earlier than that, when we said V'yitin l'cha elakim, so we make mention of the brachas of Bilam. We quoted the pasuk Hafachta misbedi l'machili V'layu ova Hashem elokecha l'shmoel Bilam V'yafech Hashem elokecha l'chasak lo l'ibrecha ki ahivcha Hashem elokecha. Because of Hashem's love for Klal Yisrael, he overturned the klalos into being brachas. So it's a time on Motzei Shabbos, the koyach of Shabbos Kodesh, that the brachas of Shabbos come down on Shabbos. But the koyach of Motzei Shabbos is that all the klalos should turn into brachas. There's a statement in Tanit Ve'eliyol in Perek Chav Ches in Tzivkat Yud Gimel, and numerous times in Tanit Ve'eliyol does he mention the Inyan of Bilam, and he says the following thing: Moshe Yaseh B'Davar Echa MiBilam, Bilam Yaseh B'Davar Echa MiMoshe. Moshe had an advantage over Bilam, and Bilam had a certain advantage over Moshe Rabbein. What was Moshe's advantage over Bilam? B'Moshe hu oimer v'yikra al Moshe. It says v'yikra al Moshe, that Hashem called to Moshe, but by Bilam it says v'yikar Elokim al Bilam. V'yikar is a lesson of coldness, a lesson of happenstance, chanced upon. V'yikra al Moshe, but v'yikar al Bilam. Eliyahu continues. By Moshe we also find it says v'ata poi amoid imadi. You here stand with me, Hashem says to Moshe. But by Bilam, he doesn't stand. Noifel uglui einayim. He's a person who falls. That's Moshe over Bilam. Now, how is Bilam better than Moshe? Because by Moshe it says, Haydi'ini naz jachecha. Moshe says to Hashem, show me, tell me your ways. But by Bilam it says, Yoidea das Elyon. He knew. He knew the das Elyon. By Moshe it says, Harini naz kvedecha, show me your kavod, show me your honor. But by Bilam it says, Machse shada yechze, I see Hashem's his glory. She Hashem's shaka. This is very difficult. We can understand Moshe has an up on Bilam. If Bilam has any advantage over Moshe Rabbeinu, it's hard to imagine. But the pshat is like this. First of all, by Yikra and Moshe, why do we bring these psukim? I don't understand this. After all said and done, Moshe is the tzaddik and Bilam is the rasha. And the reason why that is, if you take a look at these psukim very carefully, Bilam was, yes, Yodea Das Elyon. He says, I knew the Das Elyon, the higher knowledge, higher understanding. Mach Sashar Kayechze. But there was no relationship with the Rabban Shalom. It was all fake. He really wasn't buddy-buddy with Hashem. Hashem told him not to curse, and he went ahead and he cursed anyways. He wanted to do what he wanted to do. He wasn't interested in having a relationship with the Rabban Shalom. Whereas by Moshe, it's the exact opposite. Moshe was interested in a relationship with Hashem. And that's why these are the psukim which I mentioned here. This distinction between Moshe and Bilam. Vayikra al Moshe, like he quotes here on the bottom, according Rashi, a lashon of chavivas. This is a lashon of Hashem's love that Hashem has for Moshe. Vayikra al Moshe. Not just that Hashem called to Moshe. It was an expression of Hashem's affection. Whereas by Bilam, Vayikar is a lashon of coldness. It's a lashon of distance. There's nothing there. And again, by Har Sinai, Va'ata poi amoydi madi. It's not just that Hashem is telling Moshe, stand with me. He's saying, be with me. He said, I want to be with you. I don't want you to go anywhere. I want you to be in my Dal and Amos all the time. Whereas by Bilam, he was a noifel gluy inai. The moment that he was in Hashem's presence, he was fallout. And really the fact that Bilam knew what he calls Das Elyon, that wasn't really a shavach to Bilam. That really wasn't a shout out to Bilam. It was not at all. The Medrash says elsewhere that Bilam was somebody who was chaytev chachma, that he snatched, he grabbed. It was never given to him. He saw that it was open and he went ahead and he took it. And that's really what's being highlighted here. Haydeni na'as trachecha. Hashem, Moshe says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can you show me? Will you teach me? Will you give it to me? Sometimes the answer was yes, sometimes the answer was no. But he asked. And that was because there was a relationship and there was a respect that Moshe had from the Melech Malchei Melechim. But by Bilam, Mach Seshaka Yechze, I see. The reason why he sees is because he saw that things were open and he went ahead and he took, but it was never given to him. It was never given to him. He may have known more than Moshe Rabbeinu, but you see that there was no relationship. It only came to harm him, it didn't come to help him. He was a bigger Rasha because he had such Chachma. There are lots of Rishayim, but nobody was as big of a Rasha as Bilam. And that's because he knew so much, but he wasn't interested. And he took without asking. Rashi Moshe Rabbeinu, who's called B'chol Beis Hinemanhu, like we spoke about a little while back. Moshe is called B'chol Beis Hinemanhu because everything was open to him. Like the Zita Choyver said last week, he says, I know all the Seidus. Everything is open to me. But you could say about me, B'chol Beis Hinemanhu, I don't take anything without Hashem giving it to me. And that was the Darak of Moshe, because there was a relationship. And that's really what the Ikar is to establish a relationship with the Rabbeinu Shalom. The Chazal say, if Yirasa Kadamas HaChachmasa, if a person's year precedes his Chachma, then Chachmasa is Chayamas, and his Chachma will last, and it will do good for him. But if not, if there's no Yira like Bilam, there was Mamish no Yira, then Chachmasa is Talakas, and it's the opposite of it. Shibzecha to be able to have these relationships, and have Chachma, which is Messiah in our Yira, and to come Echai al-Chai.
Amen.